topic is five factors of success in sales. Break this down into two main categories for to expect to be successful in sales. Number one, you have to work hard. Number two, you have to be good at what you do. It's just common sense. If you want to learn how to play piano, you have to practice a lot and hopefully have some talent and get good at it. Otherwise, no one's going to pay to listen to you play the piano. They might pay you to stop playing the piano. Want to be a race car driver? You want to practice, get good at it. You want to be a scientist? Practice, get good at it. You want to be a writer? Practice, get good at it. So why should sales be any different? It's realistic to assume if you don't make any sales calls, you're not going to make any sales. So the first of the two main categories, of course, is call volume. Again, looking at this from a common sense point of view, if you don't work every day, if you're going to work Monday through Friday, then, you know, work Monday through Friday. If you don't show up, if you blow off a day, I don't feel like working today. I got this excuse. I got a doctor's appointment. Well, you schedule a doctor's appointment right in the middle of the day, you're not going to work. If you take one day off, that's 20% of the week is gone. What is that going to do for your earnings goals? So you have to show up each and every day. You don't show up in a baseball game, you lose. So to put it more specific, show up on time each and every day. Sounds easy, but a lot of people have an endless series of reasons and excuses and conditions why they didn't work this day. Especially if you're working independently from home on a commission-only position where you're not being closely monitored, it's really easy to screw around and take a day off here or take a day off there, which is fine if you're meeting your earnings goals. But if you're not, you got a real problem. And number two, if you're going to show up, you need to commit to a certain productivity level. Usually involves doing a sales presentation, either in person or on phone. So I'll assume it's a phone sales job. So you have to do, if your goal is to do two presentations a day, that would be 10 a week, roughly 40 in a month, and so on. I mean, if you're going to show up, you might as well get some work done. But it's amazing how many people have bad habits where they go to work and then try to do the absolute minimum necessary to keep their job. And if no one's looking, they'll screw around, they'll go on a computer and go to eBay or chit-chat or make phone calls all day, screw around, take breaks, read the Wall Street Journal in the bathroom. A lot of people have had jobs where they were paid on a salary, and now they say they're ambitious and they want to work independently and have an entrepreneurial sales position, but they're bad habits. They've got these habits left over from their hourly or salary days. And so their productivity is just not there. If you have a specific number of presentations that you want to complete, it really doesn't matter what days you work or what hours. You can have flexible hours, or even if you take a day off. As long as you're hitting, say, that 10 presentations a week goal, if that's what's necessary to get you to your earnings targets, then that's the thing you want to focus on, because that's a deliverable. Again, a lot of people are used to just putting in hours. Well, I work 12 hours a day. Oh, really? What do you do? Well, I was researching, or I was, you know, sending follow-up correspondence, or doing everything but selling. They weren't doing presentations, they weren't closing, but they were keeping busy. It's not the hours you work, it's the results you get. When you're working independently in an entrepreneurial sales position, the only thing that matters is how many sales you get. If you focus on that deliverable goal, then you have a solid foundation for the part two of this. The first is close call volume, and the second is close ratio. First is work your ass off, then get good at it. Close ratio is you being good at sales. It's like your home run ratio or hit ratio in baseball or whatever. There's three elements to close ratio. for the five factors of success. First off, you have to decide, well, what am I going to do on this phone call? What most people decide to do is they're just going to make the call and they'll figure out as they go along. It's called winging it. They really have no systematic approach to the sales process. They may have a few old photocopy scripts, which is some vague idea of how a sales call looks, and it's really, if you look at a lot of these scripts, they're just worthless. It's not really a process, not an engineered sales process. It's some sample dialogue, and if you use that script, usually way worse off than if you didn't. Anybody who sells at all quickly learns that that script's a waste of time. So they just basically make calls, and they'll pick up a few one-liners here and a few one-liners there, and that's what they do. There's very rare to find a company that has systematic, effective sales training. If you are lucky enough to have that available to you, or if you're genius enough to create it for yourself, then you have a systematic sales process that you can learn, follow, and master. First off, you have to learn the process. Then you have to have the discipline to actually follow it on a call, which is a lot harder than what it sounds like. And then you have the hope of mastering that process. If you don't decide what sales process you're going to use, you've decided to wing it by definition. Is somebody being successful with that process? Are they getting success? Is it known to work? Does it make sense? Is it intelligent? Or is it just a bunch of block diagrams and worthless dialogue? You know, if that's what you have, then you're in a sorry position of really not having a sales systematic process that you can follow. Let's think about the elements here, the decision. The very fact that you're going to decide what sales process to use is something that easily 90% of salespeople don't do. They simply get a job. They put them under the wings of a more experienced rep who feeds them a bunch of platitudes and slogans. Make a bunch of calls. Yeah, just go out and close them. They have no plan of attack. They just basically hammer the phones, make cold calls, and they try to talk people into things. That's what they consider selling. There is no decision to make because there is no process. The idea of learning a process is something, well, you learn how to sell by just watching other people, and eventually you get kind of good at it. But there is no systematic learning, like to say, look, I want to learn how to be a psychologist. I want to get a PhD. They have a systematic curriculum. Require courses, and it takes X amount of years to do that. Can you imagine going to a surgeon who says he's going to wing it? Wow, I didn't really go to medical school, but you know, I'm pretty good with my hands, and you know, I'm not afraid of blood, so I can do it. I'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. Is that your heart surgeon? Is that the one you want? The discipline to actually follow a process is just that. It's a discipline. It's real easy to say you have one. Oh, yeah, it's in a drawer somewhere. I mean, yeah, it's a sales process. I remember that when I first started, they gave me something like that. I put it in a drawer. I don't know where it is right now, and I don't need it anyway. I just make calls. And what happens, they made a few sales. So they figured that was good enough. They achieved mediocrity relatively quickly, which is all they really wanted anyway. They hit their comfort zones. So what do they need the sales process for? I'll make enough money to live on. It's good enough. I just make calls. I'll stumble across a deal here or there. The idea of mastering a sales process, again, is beyond what most people would consider in the realm of possibility. Well, this is not playing the piano. This is just phone calls. I just call them up. Well, what do you mean, master? Master of what? I call them up. I explain what I have. They're, you know, I try to talk them into it. Then that's what I do. There's no process. I mean, the whole idea of a sales process is a foreign concept. The next of the, number four out of the five factors, first again being call volume. First category of call volume, get in on time each and every day, and then commit to X presentations per day. Close ratio, decide, learn, follow, and master the sales process. That was three. Four is control the process. Well, what does that mean, control the process? How can you control it? A guy interrupts you. You know, he's a customer. You got to answer his question. Well, how about this? Well, how much did it cost? And what does it do this? And I don't know if I want this. Call him back next week. Oh, okay. I'll call you back next week. The idea of controlling a process is a foreign concept. All you want to do is keep them on the phone long enough to close them. Well, how can you, number one, follow a process unless you control it? If I have a systematic approach to the process and I want to do, you know, A, B, C, D, E, and the prospect wants to jump ahead to the price or has me talk about this, well, how about this, and how about this, and how about this, and if I answer those questions, I'm no longer doing the presentation, or the prospect is doing the presentation, and then at the end, you know what's going to happen? I'll think about it. That's what you're going to get. Well, I don't know, I'm going to think about it. Why? Because he's controlling the process. So he wants to think about it. He's making a decision. And you're sitting there left, you know, wow. That's what happens when you don't have a systematic approach. An example, let's say as a software company, I say by investing in this software, your production is going to go up by 20%. How much is it? Well, I was explaining what we can do for you first. What are you doing now? What are you using now? I don't know. I'm not interested in software because, you know, I invested it once and it didn't pay off. So the guy just keeps throwing one after another, and you start reacting to those objections or concerns, whatever you want to call them. You're no longer in control of the process. You could say, you know, basically the best way to stay in control of a sales process is if they ask you something out of order. Well, how much is this anyway? And I'm really happy you asked me that question. That's the good news. You're really going to be happy when you find out how the numbers work on this. But what I'd like to do first, just for a couple minutes here, is just explain this one part for you, so I can share this one aspect of this for you, and I'll tell you about the price. And what you do is you deflect it back over to what you were talking about, and 20 minutes can go by. Well, I can't tell you the price right now. What? I'm not going to tell you the price because I haven't told you this first. Well, I want to know the price now. Well, no, I can't tell it to you now. Well, now I'm going to hang up. Now you got a pissing match going with this guy. Because you said no. They don't like to hear that word. How much is this? Oh, I'm really glad you asked me that. That's the good news. You're going to be so excited when you find out how the numbers work on this. It's really great. Matter of fact, let me just finish this right here. So I need to share this one part with you because you're going to really like this. And I'll come back to the price and I'll go over all the details for you. I'll show you everything. Is that a reasonable request? I didn't say no. That's how you control the process. It's not who can beat up the other person, stronger willed or whatever. That's not going to work. You have to have some kind of finesse. Number five in the five factors is you've making the calls, you're there every day, you're cranking out presentations, you're mastering the process. You're controlling the process, so you stay in control. You need to close. You need to close the deal. The definition of closing the deal is getting that person to buy. Lock him into the buy. Otherwise, you can't get any money, right? Anybody want to comment on that? Steve, is that right?
Right.
I got to talk him into it. I'm the sales guy. My the close is when I talk him into buying stuff. And I go spend all the money, I laugh like hell at him, and I got this guy to buy, I really close to hell of that guy. Right?
You might get lucky once.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve. So, what I mean by close is very simple. I want a decision, yes or no. I've earned the right to ask them, yes or no. Does this make sense for your business, yes or no? And if he says yes, then I say, well, then you've made your decision, haven't you? Because if it makes sense for your business, then do it. If it doesn't, don't do it. As the company owner or the CEO, you have the responsibility to the shareholders, to everybody else involved in your business, to make sure that you're doing the best for your company. You've been doing a good job so far. You're a successful company. So I'm just asking to do what you do all day long, is make a decision in the best interest of the business. Either this works or it doesn't. We've explored what the program does. Da-da-da-da. Well, I want to think about it. Well, you could do that. But usually in my experience, what happens is that people are waiting for certainty. And you, of course, you wouldn't be in business waiting for certainty because there is no such thing as certainty. What you do is you take the information, you know, and you make an executive decision. If this is the best interest of my business, let's go for it. Is it in your best interest of your business to continue the way things are knowing that you could drastically improve your business right now, and so on. You have to come back and insist on a decision, or you could set up in advance. Well, what I'm about to do is I'm going to invest some time with you to explain what our program does for your company. And Steve, I'll role play with Steve. Steve, at the end, can I ask you one favor?
Sure.
Can you just tell me, I'm going to ask you at the end, if this is in the best interest of your business, then I'm going to ask you to go forward and do it. And if it's not, I'm going to ask you to tell me that, and then we're done, okay? It's your company. All I want you to do is make a decision. Whatever's in the best interest of your business, that's all I want you to do. That's it. Does that make sense to you?
Sure.
Seem like a reasonable approach? I'll explain everything. I'll answer all your questions. I'll explain everything you do. And at the end, you just simply tell me, yes, this is in the best interest of my business, or no, it isn't. Because I don't know yet, Steve. It may or may not be in the best interest of your business to incorporate this. Does that make sense? The basic idea is I'm asking him in advance. We have a deal. He's going to give me a yes or no in advance before I even start. Because at the end, it's too late to ask for that deal, isn't it?
Yep.
So in advance, I have an arrangement that I'm going to do my job, and I'm asking him to do his. Do we have a deal? Otherwise, why would I want to go forward? Right? Why would I want to sit there and explain what this product does if he can't even tell me yes or no at the end? I can also phrase it this way. Steve, as a CEO, isn't one of your main job functions making decisions all day long about this? And it's you everybody goes to get decisions made, correct?
Yep.
And what you do is you act in the best interest of your business, to the best of your ability. You make decisions to the advantage of your company. Is that right?
I'd like to think so.
Of course. I mean, that's what CEOs do, and I talk to them every day. I'm fine with that arrangement. I like that idea. So what I like to do is just to make this real easy is I'm not like a salesman that's going to try to push my product on you and try to sell you things, Steve, because in my experience, it just flat doesn't work. Let's be adults about this. I have a product or service just like you sell your product or service in the market, correct? You have to make sales happen and then deliver for your customers, correct?
Yep.
And so do I. So the way I like to do it is very simple. I'm going to do the best job I can to present our service. And since I don't know your business like you know it, you're the only one that can decide whether or not this is in the best interest of your business, considering everything you know about your own company, your financial situation, everything, right? So all I'm asking you is at the end, if you can just simply tell me, Paul, I've considered this. I really don't think this is in the best interest for our business to go forward. And I'll say thank you very much. I may ask you then maybe you can refer me to someone who you think may benefit by our service. But if it is in the best interest of your business, I'm going to ask you another thing. You should do it. You should go ahead and do it, right?
Right.
Okay. Now you don't have to worry about being pressured because I don't work that way. I'm going to give you the full information. I'll answer your questions. I'll give you all the pricing information, and you tell me yes or no. How's that work?
Sounds fair to me.
So that's what I mean by a close. It's the opposite of the bullshit Glengarry, Glenn Ross. You know, get him to sign on the line that is dotted, close or hit the bricks, all this mythology. Nonsense. It just doesn't work. People don't like to be sold. But I think it's totally justifiable that if I'm doing my job and I'm asking him to do this, I'm asking for a decision, that's all. I didn't say it had to be a yes or no. Either one's fine with me as long as I'm not calling back every week and wasting my life. Let's go back briefly to the process. Decide, learn, follow, and master the process. How can you master the process if you don't follow it? And by mastery, don't we assume then that every presentation is just a little bit better than the one before it? If you're practicing a really complex song on a piano, you want to master that piece. Say you're a pianist in a symphony orchestra. You'll practice that and practice. You're listening for a little nuances. First off, you have to learn the overall score, right? The arrangement, where the notes are. You start playing it. And you have to learn the little tricks, little complexities of the music. And then there's all those little nuances. It's the subtleties between good and great performance. So you keep working at it until you master that piece of music, and then you're deserving of having an audience that pays, you know, big money and puts on the nice clothes and shows up to watch you play, right? So So by mastery, what you have to do is you decide what process you're going to follow. You learn it. You follow it. And you master it by doing each performance just a little bit better than the one before that. See how that becomes like a systematic process, a systematic whole right now? If you do that and you have the call volume and you're on the phone, you're working each and every day, you're cranking calls out, you're doing presentations, you're committing to a certain production level, minimum 2 presentations a day, something like that, controlling that process and you're closing for a decision, what do you think is going to happen at the end of as time goes on?
Your closing ratio should go up.
I think what you mean is you're going to sell more, correct? Because close ratio is one element of this whole process. The overall process will do what?
Improve.
Well, look at the contrast. You have a guy who shows up whenever, here or there, but not every day. And when he shows up at work, he's not really working a lot of the time. He's screwing around, doing this or that, wasting his time. And at the end of the day, sometimes he might not have done any presentations at all that day, or even 3 days in a row, no presentations. If he's not doing any presentations, is he going to sell anything?
Nope.
In other words, he's lazy or disorganized or, what word am I looking at? Lazy, disorganized, just random almost, the way that he works. It's just not a structured work environment, so he has no productivity. Is that person going to be successful? It's possible that they're going to be such a great closer, that even if they do that, they'll just nail down deals somehow, magically. And some people do that. They just work on charisma. They work haphazardly. And they really don't have no process, but they're very charismatic and they close deals. Here's the question I have for you. If you were like that, you'd already know it. You'd already be making a lot of money, are you? If you're like that, then why are you on this call? You're probably not the kind of person who even attends sales training. Why would you need sales training if you're already making all kinds of money? You know everything. So the idea of showing up each and every day and then working systematically, goal-driven to do X amount of presentations, that's call volume. That's all that counts. You're up at bat. Now you have to be able to hit the ball. That's close ratio, hitting the ball. You have to decide that you're going to, what process you're going to follow, and by having no process, you've decided to work by winging it. You have to learn that process or create one. You need to then have the discipline to systematically follow it. You have to master it by making each presentation better than the one before that. Then you need to go on to controlling the process. You can't be deflected by a prospect asking you questions and making you respond. Have you ever gone to a seminar or a class and the teacher's trying to cover a topic, they have an hour, and then 5 minutes into it, some guy in the back starts asking questions, and the teacher takes 5-10 minutes to answer it. Then the guy answers another question. Then the guy answers another question. Then the guy asks another question, and you realize it's 10-2. And then for 50 minutes, the presentation really never started. It was continuously interrupted. The hour ends, the professor walks away, and the topic was never taught. Some moron in the back of the class taught the class that day, and what did the class get out of it? You get my idea, you guys?
Yep.
Yes.
If you can't control your presentation, your own presentation, you don't deserve to have that job. It's like a training class. If I do a sales training, if I can't control my own training class, then I'm teaching by example that I couldn't control a presentation either. So you have to control the presentation. And then if you do all that work, you show up each and every day, you're making the presentations, you're systematically working hard, you're sweating, you're mastering the sales process, you're thinking hard, you have the willpower and discipline to control it, and at the end the guy, well, I'll call me next week. Oh, okay, I'll call you next week. Right? You did all that work, and it was payday, and not only didn't you get the deal, you didn't even get a decision. Now you got another one in your files, you're going to call back next week. Yeah, I'll call this guy. Then you're doing all these callbacks. Call this guy, call that guy, call that guy. Well, I'm not really ready. Call me next week. In the meantime, your mortgage payments are due. Kids need new shoes, right? You ain't making any money. You have to decide in advance that you're going to close for decision. Here's another analogy for you. Let's say you want to join the military and you want to defend your country. And so you're going to go into combat. But you never really decided what you're going to do when some guy comes running at you with a bayonet Are you going to shoot him or not? Because you were trained not to kill people. Of course, you're not a murderer. You don't want to kill people, do you? You and your buddies are there. They're looking one direction. Someone sneak up the other direction. You're sitting there trying to make a decision on whether or not you should shoot this guy. The guy walks up, lobs a grenade, and kills you all. You and all your buddies all dead because you couldn't make up your mind. Don't you think you should make up that your mind first before you even join up? Am I willing to kill someone? Kill, all right? Not murder. Terminate someone, yes or no? Because if you're not, you're in the wrong business. As a police officer, you may be called upon to shoot someone. To defend someone's life, you may have to take someone down. You may have to kill them. Most hopefully you don't want to do that, but if you're not prepared to do that, then you don't have no business being a police officer. Let's say you want to be a firefighter, and a woman's screaming that their baby's inside there and the house is on fire, and you think there's a good chance, there's a good odds that you can get in and out of there without dying. But you're not really sure if you really want to risk your life just to save someone else's kid. Eh, and while you're thinking about it, the baby roasts, okay, and is dead. Because you didn't decide whether or not you were ready to sacrifice yourself to save others. Well, isn't that what a firefighter does? Or you're a surgeon, right? But you're not sure if you really want to, you know, if you can handle the sight of blood. I give you all these analogies all day long. The thing is that other professions, I mean, they've sworn that they're going to do their duties. They'll take the hits. You know what I mean? A bodyguard will take a bullet. Like if you're in a Secret Service, you have to put your body in front of the bullet to save the president's life. Not that I would advise in this case, but, you know, theoretically that's what you're supposed to do. Then again, you may want to, considering who the alternative might be. Not that I'm into politics. But anyway, these are decisions that other people make, right? They make the tough decisions all day long, and you benefit by them. You ever watch Dirty Jobs on television? It's a great show on Discovery Channel. You know, these people have nasty, hard, just unbelievable jobs. And he says they do the jobs that no one else wants to do that make civilized life possible for the rest of us. That's kind of like the tagline of the show, and it's true. They clean out sewers and dump out medical waste and all this other nasty-ass stuff that nobody wants to do. But, hey, if it didn't do that, we'd be a big, you know, big doo-doo, so to speak. But then here you are. Oh, but you don't have to do your job. Your job is to close for a decision. And if you don't do that, then you shirk your responsibility. Now, what happens? Number one, you've basically screwed your prospect because if they needed this, and they already, at this point, you're not asking for a decision unless you think the customer should say yes because it'll benefit by them. And they admitted already that it's going to be a yes. You're not asking for a yes until they've told you themselves that this is in the best interest of their business. Then you're asking them to follow. You're not asking them to make a purchase until they tell you that, yes, Paul, this is in the best interest of my business. You're right. But even then, I want to wait. I want to think about it. See, at that point, you do them a disservice by not closing them. And closing them is simply forcing them to act in their own self-interest, which you already know what that is now. Or at least tell you no and give you a good reason. You do them a disservice. They do not gain now what they could have gained by purchasing your product or service. They are worse off. Now you're wasting their time because you're calling back endlessly and they're having to make excuses. And, you know, you let them off the hook like that. You didn't do them any favors. Number two is a company you work for, you shirked your responsibility and hurt your own company because they lost a sale that you were supposed to make. You hurt yourself and your family and all your creditors. And your kids and everybody that depends on you for an income. You've hurt the economy. You basically screwed everything up and you have no business in sales. It's your responsibility to close. That's what you do. By not closing, you're hurting everybody around you. You facilitated an excuse-making machine. Now you got excuses and stalls and everything else instead of, you know, making commerce work. People buy stuff every day. Or you're just simply, why do you go to work for a company if you don't believe in that company? If the service isn't any good, why are you working there? You did everybody a disservice by, in effect, facilitating a company that shouldn't be in business. You're screwing yourself. You're helping a company that doesn't deserve to be helped. You're screwing the prospects and the customers. I mean, you should make that decision right off the bat. Do I want to work here, yes or no? Is this company good, yes or no? So at the end, the close should be real easy for you.